Praise God. Glory to God. We're going to go to Matthew 28, 1. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Bill's looking sharp today. Hallelujah. He's got on his little tie thing there. Praise God. Jill, what are we going to talk about today? Just a joke. Matthew 28, 1. After the Sabbath at dawn, this is Matthew 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled away the stone and sat on it. That must have been cool. I want to talk to that angel one day. Did you just love that when he just got up there and sat down like, that's just good. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Did you know that I went over there to look in that thing? And it's true. He's not in there. He's not there. They let us go in there and everything. There's nobody in there. Then you go quickly and tell his disciples, "He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. Then you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. You just got to know they didn't want to let go. There he is. When I see him in heaven, that's what I'm going to do. They're going to say, "Oh, there goes the master. There goes Roxanne. He's dragging her. He's got..." Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event that ever took place in the sense realm and in the spirit realm. It is the greatest thing. Satan is defeated. Right now he's defeated. Christ arose in full stature of the Godhead in the presence of the adversary. He threw off from himself the principalities and powers. He made a show of them in the presence of all hell. Then, taking the trophies from the hand of the conquered, he arose from the dead. And you can hear him say, "I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell." Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Resurrection Day is the greatest celebration of all. I love Christmas, but this is a better day. This is a great day. Church, if there's no resurrection, we need to all go home. There's nothing here for us if he didn't raise from the dead. But he did. This is not a fairy tale. I mentioned that to you earlier. This is not a fairy tale. It happened. This is actually the foundation of our faith. He was resurrected from the dead sometime between the close of the Sabbath day on Saturday and before the women could come and get there on Sunday. The power of God exploded inside that tomb, reconnected Jesus with his spirit, with his body, sorry, flooded the corpse with life, and he rose again. Praise the Lord. So much power was released in that place, in that sealed entrance, that the earth reverberated. It shuddered from the explosion. I mean, this is a loud thing. And then the angel rolled away the stone and Jesus walked out. I don't know. I don't know how he walked out. I don't know if he walked out like, "Oh," and it was, you know, one of those kind of moments, kind of the religious thing. Or if he strutted like John Travolta. You know, whatever he did, he's like, "I'm here." Say, "Oh, don't be like that, Pastor. Jesus is funny every day. He loves it. I do think he came out with purpose. He walked out with purpose. Whether it's a strut or a stroll or whatever it was, he came out saying, this is it. This is it. We have conquered. Amen. The Bible says that God raised Jesus from the dead by his glory. His heavy, weighty presence. There was great power present at that time. The life and the light of God hit that place. The earthquake, the soldiers shook. They ran. Can you imagine? They're like, whoa, they're out of there. Boom, boom, they're taking off. The glory of God raised Jesus from the dead right then. So what we know then is that Jesus is the first fruits. He fulfilled the feast of first fruits. You know, remember we were here Wednesday night talking about the feast. He fulfilled the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20. I think Wesley has it there. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Amen. You know, Holy Week is it's a very exceptional week in our year. Because there's so much to ponder, and I know you've been doing that all week, and even in our songs that we sang and played out, there's just so much honor there, respecting what Jesus did. I never make light of that. I know I have fun with you, but I am serious about being grateful about what Jesus has done for me, and I'm just happy about that resurrection. I'm happy about it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, we start, when you look back at the week, we start, a lot of people start with Palm Sunday, but actually this whole event started at Lazarus's house. It started with Mary. She anointed him. Remember that? So she anointed him, and then he goes in and makes his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And, you know, people may get muddled here, but he preaches day and night. He deals with the money changers. He's doing all this stuff during these few days. This is actually the time that they're walking back and forth from Jerusalem to Bethany. And when he tells them Mark 11:23, he teaches them, he curses that fig tree and he teaches them how to move a mountain. This is all happening during this time. Well, you know, he eats that Passover meal and with his disciples, he's betrayed, he's tried. I know you've looked at that all week. The punishment, the crucifixion, the death, the burial. Please understand, in case anyone has missed this, they did not kill Jesus. He gave himself. You don't need to be blaming Jews for killing Jesus. He doesn't blame, he gave himself. They were blinded. They could not see. And that helped us because the Gentiles were able to come into the gospel. So, you know, when they came to get him and he said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus. And he said, I am. And when he said, I am, it knocked everybody over. Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, we think about all those things. We think about the punishment, the death, the burial. We think about that, but we need to understand that he chose to do that. He paid it all. And that's what we need to ponder on. We are forever forgiven and we can be forever grateful. I ask the Lord because this week it's been a real overload of what he did for us. It's just come from everywhere. Every event I went to, most of the places centered up on the price that he paid. And I asked the Lord about it. I said, you know, after a while, I just start feeling kind of like, oh, let's get to the resurrection. And he told me this. He says, look, remembering this is about covenant. I'm not having you remember this to make you sad. I'm having you remember this to make you grateful. And so I straightened myself out quickly because, you know, I was getting a little, but I said, I am grateful. I am so grateful. Are you grateful today? But let's talk about the resurrection for the last few minutes here. Philippians 3:10 says, if you want to put it up there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So this is the Apostle Paul talking. He wants to understand, he wants to experience the proper influence that the resurrection should have on his mind. Get that? His mind, and he's putting it here for our mind. He wants the proper influence that we think about the resurrection the right way. So we think deeply about the resurrection. That's what we're doing right now. And we think deeply about resurrection power. And so what do we know about resurrection? Well, first of all, we know this, that if Jesus lived after death, so can we. That's the number one thing. I just read you the verse that said Jesus was the first fruits. That's because they're second, third, fourth, and well, there's just second. It's all of us. We are the next fruits. Amen. Yeah. Because he rose, we will live forever. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 15:20, I want to read that again and read further into the scripture. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since death came through a man, Adam. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is fitting that the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man, Christ. Adam brought on the sin. Jesus brought on life. Amen? Adam brought on death. Jesus brought on life. Church, Jesus did not come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. Okay? And when you start living by grace, you'll be empowered by the resurrection and you'll be able to do the good works that have been ordained by God. But if you just try to do good works to earn your salvation or earn your right with God, you're going to fail miserably. That's what we call religion. And it's not going to work. Amen. By grace are you saved. You can't get good enough. You can't get good enough. Listen, to think that you could save yourself by your good works, that's ludicrous. It cannot happen. Jesus paid once and for all. Now, those who want to receive the salvation can receive it in the earth. Some people don't want to, but you can have him. You can have that salvation. But you're going to have to remember this. You don't qualify to pay. You don't qualify. You can't pay for it. You can't do enough penance to pay for your salvation. Jesus did it. So here'd be the next question. Well, Pastor, you know, he paid for my past sins, but now I'm a Christian. So now who's paying for what's happening with what I'm doing now? Well, let me answer that with a question like Jesus did. He always answered a question with a question. Here's the question. When did Jesus pay for your sins? When? 2,000 years ago. You weren't even born yet. You haven't even sinned yet. He paid for your future sin. He paid the whole package. Your sin is blotted out forever. He didn't do it so you could just do anything you wanted to. There's a reason to live righteously.
That's right.
You want to know the reason? It's called the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you decide to live religiously or unrighteously, your choices could make you have to pay from the world system. But in Jesus' system, he paid it all. He took care of you. You're free. You are free forever. And if you do something wrong, if you make a mistake, tell God about it, repent about it, and get over it, and go on.
That's right.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have, listen, God is not punishing you for what you did right now. You are.
Oh, boom.
You're punishing yourself. Stop it. Give it over to Jesus.
Yeah.
If you're harboring, I was so bad, I'm so bad, I'm just so bad, I just never do right, I just never quite make it, I'm just never good enough. You need to get over that.
Yeah.
You know who you're making that about? You.
Yeah.
Oh. We just said you couldn't do it.
True. That's good.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're all right. God loves you. If you didn't get anything else, take that home with you.
Yeah.
Quit feeling guilty about it. Well, you know, if I go to church, you know, the ceiling might fall in on me. Well, we're all here. It didn't fall in on us. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Christ is the central theme of the scriptures.
Yeah.
Feed on that person and everything in your life is going to change. Amen.
Yeah.
Church, when you vary from, you move away from the original pattern, it'll cost you something. See, listen, is your concept of Christian life one that suggests that God's primary concern with you is your behavior? Because a lot of people are brought up that way. It's going to be all about your behavior. God's concern with you isn't about rules. It's about relationship. He wants to be in relationship with you. That's what he tried to tell Adam. He said, will you please move away from that tree of knowledge of good and evil and eat of the tree of life?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Eat from Jesus and leave the law alone.
Wow.
You know, focusing on sin that we want to avoid. It's just like going on a diet and reading the Pizza Hut menu every day so you'll know the foods that you want to avoid. I can't eat the cheesy bread. I can't eat the stuffed crust. I can't eat the pepperoni. Well, the salad's on here. I can't. Just what can you do? All things through Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Secondly, to know the power of the resurrection is to understand the proper influence that it does and should have on our minds. And that influence is going to raise your mind above just world thinking, above just the natural level. If you let the resurrection have the proper influence, when you're thinking about it, it's going to cause you to rise up. So I know some of you thought it strange that I talked about Jesus strutting. I did it on purpose. So when I got to this point right here, you can start strutting a little when you figure this out. You'll start going, hey, I have the victory. You're not strutting to brag. You're strutting because you know you have the victory. Amen. Stop thinking about John Travolta. I'm talking about you. It's true.
Yeah.
You can go, you know what? Now, see, this is where a lot of religious people think that we're bragging or we're arrogant. I give Jesus all the glory. But I'm going to tell you something. I win.
Yeah, that's true.
I win because he won. And I'm not ashamed of the real gospel. I'm not ashamed that Jesus has healed me. I'm not ashamed that Jesus has prospered me.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed that I overcome stuff.
Right.
Amen.
It's, he gets, you know, people are like, well, you know, you just need to go through the wilderness and go through the valley so that Jesus can shine you up. That word is shining me up right there. And when I do go through the valleys, I can work out on that word and I'll come through. Choices are made sometimes by you or someone else that could cause you to have to go through something, but you're not supposed to stay there.
Right.
Come on out. Come on out of that grave.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you sing it today? Get on up. What'd
get up.
Get up, get up, get up. There you go. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, we are not living this life to show how good we can be. We're living this life to show how good he is.
Yes.
Amen. What a powerful transformation that we can have when we think about the resurrection. Romans actually tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So what's going to transform us? Knowing that we're not in the death cycle. I don't live in the death cycle. Well, you sure are bold. What about, aren't you afraid of the devil? He's been defeated already. He's defeated. Praise the Lord. Death has been swallowed up by victory.
Amen.
Just like that snake, those Moses' snake swallowed up Pharaoh's snakes. You know, they represented gods. But our God's snake, that's why he used a snake. Our snake ate up all their snakes. Amen. We have power to always overcome. And this is where demise is swallowed up by success. You need to see that. You need to see demise being swallowed up by success. You need to see poverty being swallowed up by success. You need to see whatever's hurting your body to be swallowed up by success. These relationships that are not work, swallowed up by success. You need to see that. And this is not just a power that we're using to come out of the grave, to live forever. This is a power that keeps you out of the death cycle right now. Amen? 24/7, church. When corruptible tries to manifest, put on incorruptible. It's yours by grace. When mortality tries to set in, put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up by victory. Let me see if I can remember this. Demise is swallowed up by success. It is the word katapothe. And it's a Greek word, and it actually means to drink down and absorb. It drinks it down and it absorbs. That's how we need to think about this resurrection power. It's like this whirlpool that absorbs everything that comes near it, and it just abolishes it. Wow. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We have absolute victory with this resurrection power. Thirdly and lastly, if you're going to know the resurrection, you're going to know Jesus. Yeah. He is the resurrection. And I talked about this earlier, but when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is, he is the resurrection. Resurrection is life-giving power. That Greek word is anastasis. And it means to raise up. The whole power to restore, impart, and maintain life resides in Jesus. Amen. Have you ever thought about why God calls himself the I am? He told Moses, tell him I am that I am sent you. What does that mean? Well, and also Jesus actually said, before Abraham was, I am. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's a scripture too over in Matthew, John 58. It says, I am all or anything you need me to be. He's whatever you need. He'll be your provision. He'll be your protection. He's your savior. He's your Lord. He's your king. He's the one that'll get out in front of you. He'll be your guide. He'll show you the truth. He's there for everything, church. That resurrection power on him will change everything. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. Now, I think I remind you of this every Resurrection Day. I want to say it again today. Do you know what a game changer is? Anybody heard that expression? You did 1 year ago, probably. It's a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. When there's a game changer in the game, amen. It's because someone made a double play or someone hit a grand slam. A grand slam is a game changer. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to read it to you again because I'm going to actually read it off here because I want to make sure you get this. It's a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. The resurrection changed everything.
Yeah.
And it will change everything for you today.
Thank you.
We live in the finished work.
Yes.
And so for those of you, anyone here, if you've lost hope, for those who have put their dreams on the shelf, for those who've disqualified themselves, the resurrection changes that. It's a game changer. We have encountered a risen Savior. Game on. Game on. We win. Start winning, church. Start winning. It transformed the delusional, fearful band in a mighty spiritual into a mighty spiritual army that took the gospel to the ends of the earth. It proclaimed that our great enemy, death, was conquered. It proved that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. Nothing. And because of the resurrection, we don't have to live in fear anymore. It'll change our life goals. Church, we have a great calling. You have a calling on your life. You have a calling. You have a calling to proclaim to this lost and dying world that death has been defeated. Because the King has risen from the dead. That's our calling. The resurrection produced a new race of people, a race born of heaven and not from earth. You a superhero. Just don't be eating any kryptonite. Don't get into doubt and fear. Stay with the life. Jesus has you. Amen. He's the total answer, church. If anyone is in Christ, we're a new creature. Old you passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's the total answer. And he exerts the same power over us. So whatever your Lazarus is today, Jesus has already given you the power to resurrect it. Pick the dream up. Receive your healing. Receive your finances. Receive relationships healed. Do not cope. You don't have to cope with stuff. Don't stay in just enough. Come on out into more than enough. It exists for you. Amen. Rest in the resurrection power. Today I'm a witness. I know he's alive. Not only is he alive, but he is present in me and with me. He's Lord over sickness and disease and death and Satan. He's the high priest of my confession. He's my advocate. He's my master. He's my savior. He's my king. He's the answer to every situation. And he's coming back to take us home one day. And I can truly say today as a witness in every way, 1 Corinthians 15:54, death is swallowed up by victory. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ.